Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I'm excited about the matchup for sure. Haven't gotten a chance to play Chicago since I've been here. You know, grateful for all of my time in Chicago. A lot of amazing people over there. Got a tremendous amount of respect. But obviously, it's the team that's on the schedule, and every team on the schedule has to get dealt with accordingly. You have to be the best version of yourself week in and week out, and it happened to be the Bears. So obviously, I have probably a lot of friends and family and stuff that'll be in, but it's about me doing my job to the best of my ability and showing the world exactly who I am.
We're back at Timothy O'Toole's in Gurnee, thanks to Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, with more of your local Ford dealers football pregame show on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to your local Ford dealers pregame show on The Score. This is Olin Kreutz, the perennial Pro Bowl player. That is Patrick Manley, the longest-serving Bear in history. And I am Mully from The Morning Show, and we are broadcasting live from Timothy O'Toole's Pub in Gurnee. And we should let you know that the Bears have been forced to make some moves in order to have their full complement of players today. So they've had to bring up some guys off the practice squad. The young man from Oak Park, Illinois, brought up. The way the practice squad works, we should mention it, is that you can bring a guy up. You can only go three games. You can only bring someone up from the practice squad three times. And then you've got to either add them to the roster, or you got to make a move or whatever. I believe Cairo Santos might kick today for that reason, because Jake Mooney's already been brought up a couple of times, and they might want to hang on to that, but we'll see. Also, they, as I said, they brought up the corner. They've got issues at cornerback, obviously, since Kyler Gordon is now unavailable to them, and he's out for four games. He was put on the injured reserve. They still have Tyreek Stevenson left last week's game with a shoulder injury, and he's not expected to play today. I believe Cole Kmet, not in the secondary, the tight end, he left with a back injury, not expected to be up today. I believe they brought someone up from the practice squad to fill out the roster at the tight end position. And, you know, they're just kind of in this period where they're uncertain about different players. One of the guys that's on the injured reserve, is this Austin Booker, who led them in sacks during the preseason. And we heard the head coach say that he's going to help us this year. Well, they have until Monday at noon to bring him back, if they're going to bring him back. They activated him 3 weeks ago and gave them the possibility of bringing him back. If he's not playing in today's game, he can still return, provided he will be brought up to the 53-man roster by Monday at 3. But it doesn't look like he's going to. You know, it makes you conclude, and this has always been the knock, not knock, but the sort of acknowledgement of Dennis Allen as a defensive coordinator, that he likes big guys playing end. He likes the almost, dare I say, the kind of, you know, 20, what year was that, 2006 team that had all the – no, the last Geron team that had
– Oh, one with Greg Blush.
That had four defensive tackles
Daniels, yeah,
basically
Daniels.
On the defensive line. That's kind of a Dennis Allen dream team, right? He likes bigger, stronger bodies, and I don't know that Booker is a good enough run stopper to – good enough pass rusher for sure, but I don't know what they're going to do with him. I'm very curious to see if they – actually have him play this week or if they're going to wait and bring him up on Monday or maybe not bring him back. I'm not sure what they're going to do.
Mully, he led the team in sacks when?
In the preseason.
Say that again?
Yes.
The preseason.
That's right.
Who's he going against? You know, what time have a game
I get
it is and all that stuff.
He's not going against the number one.
I don't want to knock the young man. Maybe he can do that in the regular season. But, again, it was the preseason. And to me, he's not the difference maker of this defense. They've already made the difference in the last 2 weeks of adjusting to what they need to do to stop the run. To me, the difference maker was having Kyler Gordon back. Unfortunately, he's back on IR. So I don't think he's the answer to these questions we're talking about. I think Dennis Allen fixed that already, and Kyler Gordon was the answer. So Austin Booker coming back is kind of the least of my concerns. Yeah,
and
really it is.
If he doesn't come back by 3 o'clock on Monday,
I'll be okay.
Cares?
Yeah,
okay.
We're probably not going to talk about him the next week.
All right. I thought, you know, the problem with Austin Booker is that they drafted him, and he was a kind of a pass rusher specialist. He wasn't even a starting lineman, but he was able to get to the passer. And the thinking was, he's coming into the league. He's like, he's, you know, basically like an overgrown child. And give him a couple, 3 years, and he'll be able to play in the NFL. That was why, I mean, he had enough talent that they took him, but he was a question about physically how mature he was because he's a young player. And I know a guy who came in the league
at about kind of the similar player, right?
He
stepped his game up. He's playing better.
He's playing better. He's a more mature player. He changed positions. I think he was a quarterback, a receiver, and then he wound up as a defensive end for a year at Miami of Ohio, and then obviously has made it here. At least looks a lot better than he did earlier in the year.
Yeah, and to your point, Molly, early on about Dennis Allen, is the scheme has changed, right? And Eberflus, we know the scheme well, Pat, right? The one gap, get up the field. Austin Booker fits that style of defense, right? Get up the field fast. Stop the run on the way to your quarterback. We've heard that a lot, right? So now Dennis Allen comes in. Pat talks about Dominique Robinson. He's showing up on film. Right? He's showing up on film, made some plays. They're not going to change that front right now. I'm waiting, guys, honestly, to see Jervon Dexter's first reps at DN on first and second down. That's what I expect to see eventually when Grady Jarrett is healthy, right? We talked about Jonathan Ford. They signed him.
You called that.
To the active roster, right? Because, well,
they did it
because
you put pressure on.
Well, I couldn't get George to pay me any more than $15. Yeah? I got to save my pressure for other people. But when you think about, okay, a big deal, like when you watch film, Pat, like you do, what is Jervon Dexter like? It looks like he's capable.
Yes.
He's been better at three technique than he is at nose guard. Mm-hmm. Right? You put him. I would actually argue they should widen him a little more, tilt him a little bit, and let him use his length on the guards. Right? But put him outside on a defensive end. And I think they're thinking about, okay, can we put him in the rotation at defensive end? He'd be tough out there on first, second down, right? So I just think Austin Booker, there's an old saying, Pat knows this well, I know this well, never let them see someone else doing your job.
No.
Let them stay convinced that they need you, right? And as soon as someone is doing your job, oh, maybe we don't, right? Mm-hmm. The first guy I worried about, I saw Dominique Robinson beat Laremy Tunsil for the Commanders with an arm over, right?
Yeah.
And he had a sack, too. And I thought to myself, man, that's when I was thinking about Austin Booker 3 weeks ago. I was like, well, Austin Booker's in trouble, man. Because someone, you know, I remember the time I got hurt and Casey Wiggeman was doing my job and doing it well.
Yeah.
I was pissed on the sideline, man, because he's a good player.
Yes.
Right? And the Chiefs signed him and he played what? Casey played like 18 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good football player, right? So those are things like you're talking about, Mully. Just all of that goes into the decision of, well, we just don't have room for him right now. And is he trade bait?
Yeah.
Well, and, I mean, the Jonathan Ford thing, just to clarify that, you know, they could not bring him back for this game or any games because he had used up the three promotions from the practice squad. So they had to sign him to the roster, and they got rid of the – I can't think of the kid's name –
It's number 69.
Pasigna, that yes. guy, who was a player that came with the defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you take and you give, and you got to handle things that way.
Well, let's think about this, Olin. That's a great point about Dexter. Who are they playing today? They're playing the Ravens without their starting quarterback and Derrick Henry at the running backs and Patrick Ricard at the fullback. So you think you're going to see a heavy dose of run. So imagine Sweat, Billings, Ford, Dexter. T.J. Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds. Good job, D-coordinator
like
right
I
there.
Like
Olin,
it,
you just set up
I like
lineup.
It, listen.
That stops the run there right for me. If I line up with those guys, I'm
I just have to block those guys and try to find room to run the ball. And I think to myself, who would I would not want to face?
Right.
Right. And then you're talking about the 2001 team with Greg Blotch, and you mentioned it, Pat, but that was a nightmare in 907. 907, mm-hmm. obviously,
oh, boy.
Yes. for our listeners, is a run drill, right, where it's all run game. It's all inside run. It was Brian Robbins who ended up being a nose guard.
Yes.
It was Keith Traylor, who, you know, Keith, you know, said he was 350, but that's a lie.
yeah.
Ted Washington, who said he was 360, but that's a lie.
Yeah.
And then Phillip Daniels. And it was Urlacher, yeah. Warwick Holman, and Lance Briggs.
Yeah.
And 907 was a nightmare.
Yes.
And like you're saying, that's what Dennis Allen likes on mm-hmm. first and second down. He wants big guys in there, two-gapping, which is, I think, what slowed down Montez Sweat to start the year.
Yeah.
Getting used to coming out at four-point stance. Getting used to being a two-gap defender instead of a penetrating defender, right? So it'll be interesting, man. And another thing I do want to mention when Mully said it, I thought about was Cole Kmet in the Bears' run game is kind of Patrick Ricard
yes.
for the Ravens, right? How much do they miss him today with all the stuff that he's been doing? And people want to see Colston Loveland, and Colston Loveland does do a great job running routes and did have a few nice blocks last week. But as you review the film, he is not ready for the Cole Kmet as of yet, right? Cole Kmet is, you know, you can say, okay, well, these other guys are good blockers, yeah, but they're not double threats. So when they're in the game, mm-hmm. you know they're just going to run blocks. So just interesting who takes Cole Komet's job today and how the Bears' run game functions without it.
Yeah, and just to spin off of that a little bit is to see, is this kind of Colson Loveland's coming out party? Ben Johnson talks about, you know, spreading the ball around everybody and getting everybody touches and, to me, Colson Loveland's probably down on the list just because he's a rookie a little bit. Maybe some of the game planning as well, and maybe now you can highlight him a little bit more. He's got a matchup now with Kyle Hamilton, though, who's going to be in there that can match up with anybody, which would be a good one to watch as well for the Bears fans to watch Loveland versus Kyle Hamilton. Or Kyle's going to line up everywhere. They've moved him in a nickel. They've moved him everywhere. So just see, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Colson Loveland today.
Yeah, and Colson Loveland, right, Pat, the two critical third down catches late in games.
Yeah.
Right, and getting himself yes. open, those routes, I mean.
Yes, he's wide open.
You see why they drafted mm-hmm. him, right? They really, really mm-hmm. Well-run routes and a big target for Caleb. And with Caleb's arm, and he creates just a little bit of space and does some of these body catches. And 34 and 35, it's a first down,
yes.
man. This guy is good. But as far as run game goes, obviously all us young players, when you're a young player, you have to grow at something, right? You're not great at everything when you walk through the door. Now, he's a little better than I thought he was, Pat. And I probably should have kind of figured that because all Michigan does is
run the ball,
right? Yes. Sharon Moore and Harbaugh and those guys out there. He has nice technique. Obviously, you say, okay, he's got to get in the weight room, but does that affect his pass running stuff? And he was injured and them using him. So, like you're saying, eyes on him today.
Mm-hmm.
How do they use him? Eyes on them without Cole Kmet. Yep. How do they adjust to not having Cole out there? I argued, and people were like, Cole was playing bad, and I was arguing, like, man, you don't see all the things they're asking. They're asking him to do everything,
yeah.
right? So Cole Kmet's the one chipping for Theo Bennett. Mm-hmm. He's the one-on-one backside on the block. He's the one motioning, whamming a three technique. He's the one playing fullback. He's the one in line. He's the one doing the one-on-one blocking. So really interested today to see how they do and who they use. And probably have to use more than one guy mm-hmm. to replace Cole Kmet today.
And you're talking about Cole Kmet. He's a guy that's highlighted in meetings at Hallis Hall. He's not highlighted on the radio. He's
yes.
not highlighted on TV. He's the one where all his teammates are patting him on the back, like, hell of a block, great job,
yes.
doing all the dirty work, that he is having a heck of a year. He's been impressive with all he's been asked to do, and he's done it well. So he's getting all his accolades in Hallis Hall. Not enough maybe from us, you know, because it's the dirty work, you call it. It's the hidden stuff that he's doing, but he will be missed because of all that. So we'll see how Ben Johnson works around that. You know, you said the tight end that was brought up, I think, is Steven Carlson, who we've heard before.
Yes,
he's been gone up and down between the
yes.
Practice squad and the active roster. Different player, not the same as Cole, but we'll see how that works out today. But, again, Cole Kmet has had a heck of a year for being what he's asked to do with Ben Johnson's offense.
It was really interesting because Ben Johnson was asked this week specifically about – Colston Loveland. Why is the tight end not as involved in the passing game? And, you know, everyone knows Tyler Warren is getting the heck out of the ball in Indy, and Indy is in first place. And, you know, congratulations to Indiana Jones, what they're called. It was Duke. A great nickname for Daniel Jones. But they're getting a lot done. Maybe the Bears are more spoiled for choice, because the response from the coach was basically, we need more completions. It was we got a lot of mouths to feed. We got a lot of people we need to get the ball to, but we got to get more completions. And I think anybody who watched them last week in particular felt the same way. I mean, it was a very easy win in retrospect when you look at the points. But, man, was that like pulling teeth, waiting for them to finally start hitting some of those open opportunities. And Loveland did have three catches, which, believe it or not, tied for the team lead in that game. I think DJ Moore had three. I mean, that's not ideal for a team that is, as a famous man once said, built as a 7-on-7.
Listen, I think the word they used a lot up there this week was out of sync. Right? They feel like they're out of sync. They feel like they got to all get on the same page. Almost like sometimes you spend so much time trying to fix something like the run game, and all of a sudden your pass game falls off a little bit, right? The details, what we're working on. It always is. Every time I thought it was interesting when we played ball, where whatever group was comfortable always got worse. Right? You're either getting better or you're getting worse. So this pass game is falling behind a little bit. Like you're saying, Mully, some of it's Caleb's footwork in the pocket. Some of it you can't see if the receivers are in the right routes. Some of it he's not accurate right now sometimes with the balls either behind. The receiver is sitting down in zones. He thinks they're going to continue running. They seem to be not on the same page, right? Antoine Randall, TJ Barrett, I'm sure they're all working on the pad, right? Ben Johnson, everyone's working on that pass game now to get it going again to match a run game that is kind of taking off. I'm surprised when I watch the game, the looks they get, how what I call the box, right, is the number of players you have to block on a run play in between the tackles. If you just drew a box, that would be the box, right, or if the tight ends on the end of the line of scrimmage, how many players are in that box depends on your run scheme. So it just depends on the looks they get. And if the Ravens come out and say, look, we're going to stop the run. We're going to force Caleb to beat us with his arm. Then we'll see if this pass game is really as off as everyone thinks it is.
Yeah, and it's on Caleb, right? So I'm just going through the numbers of last week. You know, they only threw the ball 26 times, but they ran it 40 times for 222 yards, 5.6 a clip. You know, this is kind of refreshing. I was over here laughing while you were talking, Olinda. We're talking about problems after four wins. I love this. We haven't done this in a while. And this is a nice way to break down the team. So today could be a game you're talking about defensively. If they do stack the box, then you throw the ball 40 times, you run it 26 times, and it's in Caleb's hands. Let's see what he can do. And defensively, the Ravens have struggled. They've been struggling all year. They do get Roquan back, but they've been struggling all year. They do not have a pass rush. Matu Buke, that's the guy's name who got hurt.
Yes.
I had to go to the pronunciation guy.
I know, man.
It took me six segments.
I was
to get
just going to call him Buke. Buke.
You know, they're without him. They traded another pass rusher, so they can't get to the quarterback. So maybe this is a game where the numbers are flipped, where Caleb has to throw it 40 times, and they only run it 26 times. And if that's true, let's see how he does. What are his numbers after throwing it 40 times?
Yeah, these are good questions. I really am putting myself in danger by questioning a Washington player next to a former Washington grad who was just in Washington. But I got to ask, one of the guys he criticized, as we said, was Rome Odunze.
Right.
Rome Odunze, I was so happy when they drafted him. I really thought, I watched a lot of his games in college, and he was one of those go-up-and-get-it guys, and he was known for challenging and winning those kind of jump ball plays. And even when he came in as a rookie, he kind of chuckled a little at the idea that Puka Nacua was doing so well and had been a great rookie. And, you know, could he match those kind of numbers? He knows that Puka Nacua had a transfer because Rome Odunze was there. So you kept thinking, like, wow, he's really going to do something, you know, ridiculous in the NFL. But he doesn't win those kind of jump balls for some reason. And I don't know why. And the fact that Ben Johnson kind of mentioned he's got to catch more passes, was very interesting. What were his numbers from that game, Pat? I think he was targeted like seven times or something, and he wound up with just a couple of catches.
Targeted six times with just six two times. Catches, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just – that's another guy, and I know it's really unfair, but when you're judging players, you want to look at the investment that was made in the player, whether that be the draft pick or whether that be the amount of money. Whatever investment was made is how expectations are created.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing to his level of what we expect, right? I mean, he's a top 10 draft pick.
Yeah.
But the great thing is we're 4-2 talking about – football that can be improved upon. So he can play better. I expect more. And that's what he was drafted for, is all those contested catches. And it wasn't just last week. It's been all year. There's been a couple. There was one at the goal line. I forgot who. There's just been few all year where you expect him to make that catch. Well, hopefully he does start making that. Hopefully he's not you can't call him a miss yet as a draft pick. But when you draft somebody for that skill set, you want to see it come out early.
Yeah, and you have, right, you have the we're talking about it because – you have a tight end taking 10th in the draft, first round.
Yes.
You have a receiver taking 9th in the draft, first round. And you have a quarterback taking first in the draft. So what Mully is saying is you put all these assets into your pass game, and then you put $13 million into your head coach, who is the best play caller in the NFL. And it's a fair question to say, what's wrong with your pass game? Mm-hmm. Right? It's why aren't we getting more out of where – I'm sure Ryan Poles is asking that question, right? Okay. Guys, we got all these you guys in here. All this investment in 7-on-7, as I say a lot of times. And, okay, why can't we get this on the right track? Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to bring in Mark Rohde. Hopefully he's got information for us. Wouldn't that be great if he can give us who's in and who's out and who's good and who's bad? I don't know. Whatever he's got. You're listening to your local Ford Dealers pregame show. We are broadcasting live from Timothy O'Toole's Pub in Gurnee. Join the score in Circa Sports Illinois out here today to watch the game. Hang around. We're going to do a post game after we finish up here. And it's all sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Your list of Grody Time is next on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Report was inaccurate and false. The stuff was taken out of the locker room. I was informed of it after it was gone by the equipment guy, and that the players, the veteran players, a couple of veteran players got together and decided that they wanted to take that stuff out. So my pinball machine that I had gifted the guys 2 years ago at Christmas, I don't know where it's at right now.
We're back at Timothy O'Toole's in Gurnee, thanks to Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, with more of your local Ford Dealers football pregame show on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to your local Ford Dealers pregame show featuring Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. And I am Mully from the morning show on The Score. And that's the voice of John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh. There was a report in one of the Baltimore papers that he had cleared out the locker room. The ping pong table was gone. Oh, boy. Now they're getting serious. Bags gone. His pinball machine. It turns out that the veterans met and decided the fun and games were over. It was time to get serious. So that happened during the week. And we'll see if that makes a difference. The man who knows the answer to that question is Mark Rohde. Rohde time. He's joining us now on Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Mark Rohde, you can download that Circa Sports app today. Mark, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, gentlemen. I can tell you this. The Bears had a full game room, including a ping pong table, last year, and they lost 10 games in a row. So I don't know. Maybe they should have followed that ruling. But, yeah, they are fully supplied down there. I know this for a fact because Nate Davis didn't want to talk to me one day because he had to go play ping pong. So
nothing shocking about that.
Nope.
No.
You say no big shock about that, Olin?
No, nothing shocking about Nate Davis playing ping pong.
Honestly, God, have you ever heard me tell that story, Olin?
I haven't. I'd love to hear it.
Here it is. I love a new audience. So it was last year after Nate Davis had been benched, and then he was supposedly injured a little bit. And on the daily, I would try to, just like a good reporter would do, even though it was unpleasant, I would try to speak to Nate Davis. He would always come up with an excuse not to talk. I got to go do this. I got to stretch. I got to go get treatment. I got to do that. And then I think it was a Friday. It was probably my last chance to really talk to him. And I said, hey, Nate, can I just, like, not a lot of reporters around. Can I just get a couple minutes, just talk to you here on the record, off the record, whatever it is. And he puts his hand on my shoulder and he said, you know what, man? I can't right now. I got to go play ping pong. And I laughed and I was a little exasperated, but I was like, okay, I respect that. I see where this is going. You know that I know that you know that you're just not going to talk and it's all over for the Bears.
Well, let's talk about whether the winning streak's going to be over. They head to Baltimore. Just curious, have you seen all the inactives? Who's in, who's out? What do you know at this point?
Yeah, Mully, the official list has not come out. I am constantly refreshing on my screen right now. I do not have the official injury report in my greedy little hands yet, but maybe during this report it will come out probably closer to 10:40 or so.
I believe they are down two spots on the roster, right? Is the roster at 51 right now? Is that accurate?
Yeah, I believe so. And it's a little confusing because of some of the moves that they've made and the elevations. Like, just to get everybody up to date, and I know a lot of people know this, but for the benefit of the people who don't, we do know Tyler Gordon, Braxton Jones out on injured reserve. Tyreek Stevenson not playing today. Roschon Johnson out. Cole Kmet not playing. Following guys were elevated. You have Steven Carlson, a tight end, and Dallas Flowers, a cornerback who have been in the locker room all year long. I've seen them plenty. Obviously, just being on the practice squad, those guys are elevated. Jonathan Ford, the defensive lineman, is up. You will not see Austin Booker nor Amen Ogbogbamiga playing today. Wow. Neither has been activated as of yet. They obviously are very comfortable with Dominique Robinson at defensive end right now. And the Bears obviously going up against the backup quarterback in Huntley. As we all remember, probably back in 2021, he made his first NFL start against the Bears and ended up leading them to a game-winning touchdown. But this is his first start of the year. Despite the depletion in the Bears secondary, the Bears do have a lot of advantages today with Lamar Jackson not playing. Duh.
Two other guys definitely out. So you already have Stevenson, Cole Kmet, Roschon Johnson. Ruben Hippolyte is out at linebacker, and Chris Williams on the defensive line. And Case Keenum is obviously the third quarterback. So that's very interesting. That's the Bears inactives for the game.
Right, and we should see, you know, Tyro Santos expected to return this week as he finally started practicing in full. So we'll see what he's got after what was, you know, a very admirable, very good job of Jake Moody filling in for Tyro Santos. He's gonna do well for himself moving forward, whether it's with the Bears or with another team.
Grody, somebody joined us out here today at Timothy O'Toole's, came up to me and said, you haven't got me that read that you promised to get me. False advertisement there. That's okay, though. We're still working on that.
Well, I'll tell you what. Maybe you and I work together, man.
We went through this already, though, Grody. You promised this last week.
Yeah.
I know.
Share that Illinois State read.
Yeah, the broadcasting read.
Would love that.
I would love that.
I am augmenting the plan a little bit. You got to work
on. Now I got to look up augmenting.
Neutering, augmenting. What's going on? This is a football show.
You slightly alter. Yes.
Grody, the defensive line has been playing a lot better lately. We see Chris Williams is down. Grady Jarrett expected to take his place. Will you think they keep Javon Dexter at three technique? How do you think they use him today? Very interested in the development of Javon Dexter and where it goes from, because he was the starting nose guard before Grady Jarrett got hurt. Now the backup three technique is out also, so maybe keep him there?
Yeah, I mean, I would. I mean, I think that Grady Jarrett is more comfortable and better as a three technique. Now, I will see how strong Grady Jarrett is today. I don't know if he is limited in his snaps. My guess is he's going to be okay, because I thought that last week for Grady Jarrett was the precautionary week where it was probably possible, from the information I've gathered, that he could have played. So hopefully it's smooth sailing for him, but you just never know as a veteran. But that's obviously an important position to have back. He was supposed to restore some order and provide, and I'm sure he has provided, some good veteran leadership for a guy like, as you just mentioned, Olin, Javon Dexter, who we are constantly waiting to see that jump and, you know, justify a guy who was a second rounder who constantly says he should have been a first rounder as well, and continue to see these guys make some plays along that defensive line, which becomes so important with all of the defensive injuries in the secondary that we talked about at the outset.
All right. Well, you talked about the injuries at the secondary. Like, who's playing? Like, who would be backups and things like that? Because we're down to Dallas Flowers. I had to look him up and see who he was. What's the situation there?
Yeah, it's such a great question right now. I mean, it's kind of all hands on deck. You know that you have Nayshon Wright. Like, all of a sudden, Nayshon Wright looks like an all-pro out there with Tyreek Stevenson and Jalen Johnson. Man, we haven't even said his name, it feels like, forever. But you do have Josh Blackwell, as you mentioned, Dallas Flowers, who did go to Oak Park River Forest High School, so he's somewhat of a local kid who, again, you see these guys hanging out in the locker room and you don't necessarily expect them to play a role. How about, I mentioned Josh Blackwell, Jonathan Owens, too, could do some work in the slot. So there's, like, it's kind of all hands on deck for this game, but it's really too bad, Patrick, because we just started to see Dennis Allen start to utilize some of that creativity. Now you would think that it's really just back to basics and everybody holding their spots, and you can't afford to take too many chances unless Dennis Allen starts to get comfortable with some of the personnel that are in this game. But it will be very interesting to see if there's a mix and match, and if one guy is not playing particularly well, that they try to switch it up. That's what I would expect to see. Dennis Allen, a fluid situation in the secondary, and Jaquan Brisker and Kevin Byard, I think, are just going to have a lot of directing roles and really kind of owning that secondary for the Bears today.
So, Mark, there was a list put together in ESPN where they named the top top trade candidates for teams in the NFL, and I believe number 17 on that list was Braxton Jones. Well, Braxton Jones has now been put on injured reserve. He is no longer eligible for a trade, which would occur on November 4th, I believe, is the last day when teams can make trades. That's the trade deadline. Does that mean the Bears are out of the trading business? Do you think that, have you heard any rumors or anyone that could be on the trading block?
Very quiet, Molly. I think that we in the media have made some, like Braxton Jones, you know, like identified him as a logical candidate to potentially be traded. I don't know what you get for him, but I'm sure the Bears would have like to have said, hey, we got a guy who, you know, started a left tackle for 3 years. There's definitely some value there. you know, every once in a while, because of the Bears' surplus at wide receiver, you hear DJ Moore's name came up, but nothing real has been attached to that whatsoever. Like, I've heard nothing, you know, from anybody that I talk to about DJ Moore or any of these players right now. It you know, I've been saying since the beginning of the year when the Bears talked about free agency and going after some big gets, that this, while every season is sacred and you take every year seriously, that next year would probably be the year where the Bears start to make the bigger moves in free agency and get more creative. I'm not ruling anything out for the Bears. I just think that this year is not about going all in, going for it, going crazy. I think that's going to be reserved for more next year and the following year. But you never know. I mean, something could pop up, something small could occur, but in terms of the big names, there's very little action, very few whispers out of Halifall right now.
Grody, Drew Dolman, Jonah Jackson, and Darnell Wright turning to a really strong side of the offensive line for the Chicago Bears. I think they'll miss Cole Kmet a little bit today in the run game, but have you talked to those guys and talked to them about how much more comfortable they are with each other now and what Coach Dan Roschar is asking them to do?
Yeah. I mean, I talked to Drew Dolman semi-frequently, and, you know, he's told me kind of from the beginning, and, you know, obviously things have not been perfect this year for those guys, but as you mentioned, that side, that they are starting to get better, and they knew that it would be, I don't want to, not developmental, because that's not where these guys are in their career, but they said it would take a little while to get the chemistry down, and that these are all professionals who come from strong backgrounds and are here and signed for a reason at their spot. So it's so, like right now in this moment, typical of the Bears offense especially to talk about things that they're going to do better and then get better at them. You know, I don't know how good of a offensive line coach Dan Roschar is, but he certainly is very honest, and he's very much told us the things that need to get better and has made them better. We saw Matt Nagy, Ben Johnson do the same thing with the run game. We got to get this better. I'm spending more time with the run game, and it got better. So I do think that when you connect Dan Roschar to that side of the line, there have been some things that they have told us in the conversations that we get to have out in the atrium out at Halas Hall that have come to pass. And it's just that is an area where you have to be patient, because you know those are legit players.
All right, Mark, we're going to get off the subject of kind of X's and O's here. This is about people taking their shirts off and hot dogs and all that kind of stuff. You guys have been asking these questions about Ben Johnson. So I have a proposition for you. I know you've been part of this with the media scrum. I will bring three cases of Long Snapper IPA to the Score if you do a segment with Layla Marshall and yourself next week, shirtless.
Ooh.
On the Score.
There you go, Gro.
Will you do that?
Oh, man.
How about tank top?
We're trying to build something here, man. We just started this show. I don't want to chase away all of our listeners, man. I mean,
this sounds like a long-winded no, Brody. This is a long-winded no.
Oh, man, it's just funny how that's become a story about Ben Johnson taking off his shirt. I just had to bring something up. But, hey, if you're willing to do it, the Score, you will earn the Score, three cases of Long Snapper IPA delivered to Mitch Rosen's desk.
What about speech at home?
Yeah, everybody, the Score. Everybody gets it. Yes, everybody gets three cases of.
Steve, I can see Molly with his shirt off then.
For beer?
I don't know.
Yeah, let's go. I'll do it right now.
Olin, you're my agent, man. What do you think? Do I do this, or is it worth the booze? I don't know.
You got to be a team player, man, at the Score. And you know, for Pat, you know, for a guy who gave me one IPA instead of a 12-pack, I mean, it's a big offer for him.
Mr.
Man.
Frugal?
What is going on? Well, so Olin doesn't get Reeds. He doesn't get the beer.
He offered him a sip of the beer.
Yeah, a sip. He got to hold the can. I let him take a picture with it, promote it. Give that back to me. Thanks, Olin.
I'll do the shirt thing, but I'm going to need an envelope from you as well. You know what I'm saying? A little envelope.
I see. Under the table. I got you.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you pick this game, Mark? And who do you like in this game? I'm just curious about your personal opinion of what will occur.
Molly, I picked Baltimore to win this game. I think it was on Thursday I did my pick on the Take the North podcast, and that was with the understanding that Lamar Jackson would play. So as I sit here talking to you guys right now, honest to God, I do think that the Bears can win this game today. I'm doing it. I'm changing my pick. I'm doing it.
You.
The Bears are going to win today. 24.
Brody, before you do it, they're on Baltimore surface. I know it's important to you. It's a mix of Bermuda and ryegrass. This is important to you.
That sounds delicious.
Colin, let me tell you about that ryegrass. It's like whole wheat. It is so healthy. It is delicious.
Gotcha.
It is wonderful. Hey, Olin, I'll tell you what. You tell the powers that be to travel me to these locales, and I'll get you an endorsement. You and I need to work together to get the things we need and we want. How about that?
I'm on it.
Guys, I really think, like I know that it's very easy to think of the Ravens, and we know how great that organization has been, and be like, they can't be this bad. I just don't know that their defense. I heard Patrick going through all the statistics with the defense earlier, and I've delved into that as well. They are so bad. And I know you get Roquan back, but I just don't know that they get it all back today. I think Caleb can have a big game, and without Lamar Jackson playing, and I know I started this thing by telling you guys that Huntley beat the Bears back in 2021, so it's not unprecedented that Lamar's backup can beat the Bears. I just all of a sudden have a better feeling about the Bears. I'm picking the Chicago Bears to win. So you guys will have a happy, happy post game today, which I will be listening to like I always do.
Who did Dan Weider pick on the Take the North podcast? Just out of curiosity.
I'm pretty sure Weezy took the Studs. If Studs is there, I think he picked. I want to say he picked Baltimore to win, but I can't possibly listen to every single word Dan Weider says during the Take the North podcast.
You're just on a podcast with him. You don't actually
TTN. TTN.
Come on, Molly. You know how that works. You can't listen to everything Haw says.
At least I make an effort.
Oh man, that was great.
All right, great stuff, Mark. You're the best, buddy.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
That is our guy, Mark Grody. He's so much fun. We'll be right back. You are listening to your local Ford dealers pregame show on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We're back at Timothy O'Toole's in Gurnee, thanks to Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be, with more of your local Ford dealers football pregame show on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to your local Ford dealers pregame show. We've got the great Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley. I am Mully from the morning show. And here are the official inactives for the Baltimore Ravens, gentlemen. The quarterback, Lamar Jackson, is out, and the Ravens should be fined. You got Jair Alexander, the corner, out.
They have a pronunciation guide. It's the longest one in the NFL, by the way.
Sanusi, Kane,
so many names are hard
Jones,
to say.
Carson Vinson, Devontae Walker, and Aeneas Peoples are all out. Just a real horrible news, too, by the way.
Nick Mangold has passed away suddenly. Sudden passing of the Jets legend. He was 41 years old. Nick Mangold. We've lost Nick Mangold. Just you know, you send your prayers and your condolences out to his family. That is absolute horror story.
It's horrible news, man. Nick Mangold, wow. One of the best centers of his generation.
No,
if not the best.
About it.
Played for the Jets a long time. That's horrible news again. And
yeah.
Just prayers to his family. And you know, you do something like that, you don't even know what to say, Pat.
Yeah, 41 years young, man. Yeah. That's way too young, obviously. But just what a great player, what a great career he had. And, you know, you heard great things about him as a teammate as well. And that goes a long way in the locker room. And I'm sure we'll hear some great stories about him, but it's a sad day to hear a great player and a good guy like that passing.
All right, we're going to have to break. We're going to head out to Baltimore. We're going to bring in Gianna Hahn. She covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner, and we'll ask her about the tomfoolery that happened this week and, again, some of the horrible gamesmanship, whatever. Will the league investigate? We'll get her take on what went on in Baltimore this week. And again, heavy hearts hearing about Nick Mangold. Really sad story. You're listening to your local Ford Dealers pregame show on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.